Hey guys, welcome back to the Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast. No music at the top of the show today because we are we're technologically illiterate, if you haven't figured that out yet. So anyhow, Adam here with you, and Hank is also here. What's up, man? How's it going?
Fired up. It's been a week. You know, the type of week I've had, it makes sense that the music would not have worked at the top of our podcast. But I'll tell you, great news for our listeners. Pretty easy to narrow down who the musician is at the beginning of the podcast. All right. So if you're really itching to hear a little bit of Jimmy Buffett and you didn't get that 3 seconds at the beginning of our podcast, I would encourage you to hit the Spotify, the Pandora, the YouTube, whatever it is you use, and go check out Wings by Jimmy Buffett. I think you'll love it. But hey, Adam, if that's the biggest issue we got, we're doing okay, you know?
Yeah, Wings is one of the songs on the Spotify playlist that we have created that is now, is grown this week, now 12 hours and 40 minutes. So we're going to be up to 13 hours soon, I feel like. You can find that link in the description, so go give that a like. But anyway,
Adam, what did you add to the playlist this week?
All right, so this week I added Why You Want to Hurt My Heart.
That's the jam.
I know you'll be happy to hear that was added. I love the Now. I was listening to the Stories We Could Tell podcast with Dan Smith, and he had Kingdom Jasmine on the episode I was listening to. It was like maybe his first or second episode. And the dude did a sick cover of I Love the Now and made me appreciate the song in a way I never have before. So those two have been added, and something else. I don't even remember what else I added.
That's funny. I added Biloxi to my personal playlist this week.
Okay.
Makes me dream of the beach and good times I've had down on the Gulf Coast with a friend of mine, actually, whose birthday it is today. But
shout out.
Funny that we've added to the old playlist today. Sooner or later, that bad boy is going to have every song potentially, except for Math Sucks. Not going to make it on my playlist, but every other song James has done can go on the playlist.
Well, hate me all you want, but Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw, probably not going to make mine. Just, you know. And it's not fair. because it's irreverent. I just think it's, I don't know. I don't vibe with it, and I don't know why. But you're right, Math Sucks won't make it either. Even though I agree Math Sucks, but it won't make the playlist.
So tell me a little bit about Adam. Is there a rivalry, a feud between English teachers and math teachers? How does that go?
The interesting thing at our school, actually probably my closest friends at school are all math teachers, which is a bit bizarre. No, if there's a rivalry, I'm not a part of it.
You should remind them if things ever get real and a little raw there in the old planning period or the teacher's lounge, you know, you should remind them no one ever wrote a song, to my knowledge. Maybe somebody will correct us though at under40pod@gmail.com if you got to correct us. Remind them nobody ever wrote a song called English Class Sucks, you know?
No. And they wouldn't about my English class, I'm sure. Oof. But I've told all those math teachers that I'm good friends with that I do think math sucks. So, you know, they take it well. They take it well. I feel like most people that like English hate math and vice versa. So it's just something we live with. But, you know, it's one of those things that we can put aside our differences and still get along, because I think there's a lot more similarities than differences. And hey, shout out United States. We should probably do that too.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I've long thought that, what are there, like 370 million people in the country right now? 380 maybe. Think about if there was a daily requirement of 20 minutes of Jimmy Buffett listening, right?
Yes.
Big time.
That's all you need. That's all you need. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining in on the Hank and Adam preaching hour. That's all for this week. But no, in fact, I'm really excited about today's guest. Today we have Austin Parlett on the show. Austin was, I met Austin in college. We played for the Fayetteville State golf team, Go Broncos. And Austin, man, he's just genuinely one of the best guys I've ever met, one of the kindest, sweetest people, and has quite the passion for Jimmy Buffett.
What an intro there, Adam. Welcome.
Hey, guys. I don't know if I really deserve that introduction, but I'll take it. I've definitely heard worse about myself, but I'll take it. I'm glad to be here. Pretty excited. I've been listening to you guys the past few weeks, and I feel honored. I feel like you guys have had some more qualified guests than myself, but I'm happy to be a part of it.
Everybody's qualified in their own way, Austin. And I'll tell you, I notice, you know, we're on Zoom here, and I noticed that you dressed up, got a button down on. I do have tough news for you. Our listeners, they can only hear us. They can't see us. So I hope you didn't iron that button down just for the show. But you look good, and you sound good, and you're ready to go.
Well, I appreciate that. No, just to clarify, I didn't iron the button down. I actually just took it straight out of the closet.
Very good.
And I did know that no one can see us. So no awkwardness about that here.
Hey, you look good, play good, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking to a guy who has more Peter Millar shirts in his closet than I have t-shirts. I mean, AP might not always shoot the best score on the golf course out of the foursome, but let me tell you something. He's going to look the best. He's going to be dressed, you know, he's going to look like freaking, I can't think of who dresses nice on tour anymore. They all dress pretty poorly. Adam Scott. He looks like Adam Scott out there.
JT dresses pretty nice, you know. Justin Thomas, he's got a nice little
JT
swagger going on.
Good. I just had a tough realization, to be honest with you. A few weeks ago, I was the oldest one on the podcast at 35. Our guests were in their 20s, as is Adam. Today, I'm the worst golfer on the podcast. So we got to start getting some folks that are underachievers, you know, not scratch golfers with great hair and that kind of thing. But here we are. You know?
Well, I mean, that golf has kind of been my, like Adam said, that's how we met each other, you know, on the golf team. And we had some fun times out there on the course, some not so fun times. Real quick, I got to share this story, and Adam, feel free to jump in here and comment on this real quick. And I'd forgotten about it until, you know, just the other day. I was thinking, you know, back on playing golf, and Adam's kind of got to tell us about that time he passed out on the golf course during a practice round.
It was tough.
Just straight took a knee, and came back the next day. And would you fire like a 73 or 74 to put us in like second place or something?
Yeah. So practice round out your way, Hank, at Warrior Golf Club in Salisbury. We had a practice round that Sunday. I told Coach King, I was like, dude, I'm feeling really bad. So I go in the woods to vomit. Sorry, we might have to make this an explicit podcast now.
Right.
But I go in the woods to vomit, come back out, and I'm so lightheaded. I played like crap during the practice round because, well, I felt awful. And then, on the 16th hole, I went down, and the folks said after I came back too that the wedge shot I hit right before I passed out was my best shot of the day. But anyway, the golf team, we went to the hospital that night in Charlotte, and I was in the hospital until about 3 a.m. getting fluids. And needless to say, I played the next day, and I'm not calling it the Jordan flu game or anything, but I played pretty well, shot 73. And, you know, I don't know. I kind of wish that they would have given me IVs for all of my rounds.
I'll tell you what. I was thinking about the Jordan flu game, but turning it back to James a little bit, you know, if we ever have my wife on as a guest on the podcast, she'll have to confirm this number. I'm not sure what it is. Probably at least a dozen Jimmy Buffett concerts. I've woken up the next day convinced I had a stomach flu, Adam. So I know exactly how you were feeling. You know, I totally understand. Probably could have used the IV, didn't get one. You know, no one cared about me enough.
Hank, that's tough, man. Not to take away from you, but I have a feeling, bud, you weren't the only person that woke up that next day feeling like that.
You're probably right. You know, this is what I need to do. Buy a little stock in Dole grapefruits and in Juicy Fruit before Jimmy Buffett concerts.
I'm not proud of this at all, but my sister is also a pretty avid Buffett fan, and she goes just about every year to see him in Virginia Beach. And along with all of her, you know, adult beverages, they also take along a couple of Pedialytes. You know, I don't know if that's something to be proud of, but that's what they do, and I think it helps them out a good bit.
That's a high-level move, you know? I'll tell you, I generally behave myself. Don't drink to excess too often, right? It's really not my style, but I will say you do see some folks there who've done that. So Pedialyte, high-level move, you know? So, Austin, how about – you mentioned your sister, Big Parrot Head. Sounds like maybe it runs in the family a little bit. Tell us how you kind of became a Jimmy Buffett fan and – when it first started for you.
Yeah. So, it does kind of run in the family, but I definitely would have to say I got it from my dad. My dad, a big Buffett fan, and I think he kind of picked it up from his brother. As his brother, who was my uncle, growing up, had a dog named Buffett. Someone mentioned that the other week. But had a dog named Buffett. And for the longest time, I had no idea that's why the dog was named Buffett. But my dad was a pretty big fan. And, you know, as I was growing up, my dad listened to all kinds of music, but I definitely specifically remember Jimmy Buffett. And I think when I was probably like, I don't know, 11 or 12, maybe, is when I really started to take an interest and listen to it on my own a lot and kind of start checking out all the different studio albums and, you know, just kind of starting to follow him. And I think around that same time too, Margaritaville Myrtle Beach opened and I went there. And as a 12-year-old, I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
Oh yeah.
So I think that kind of sparked my interest as well. There was this huge, you know, hurricane coming out of the ceiling with a blender underneath it. I thought that was pretty awesome. You know, 12-year-old Austin was really amused. So that's kind of where it started, and it's just kind of transformed since then. I still, though, have not seen him live in concert. That's on my bucket list.
So no concerts yet for you.
No, I was supposed to this past year, along with Adam, see him in Raleigh, and with COVID. You know, that got postponed to, I think, like this April, and then who knows when it's going to get postponed to, but yeah, I definitely should have by now. I just haven't.
I'll tell you what, Austin, Adam and I have talked about a little under 40 Victims of Fate, trip to the very first concert. Whenever we get to see one again, you're invited, official invite to all of our guests. If you would like to come along. But I'll tell you this, I don't know. It'd be an interesting stat to look up. I don't know when James's last concert was pre-COVID, but whenever the next one is, provided it's not on September 11th, 2021, which would be my child's first birthday. As long as it's not on that date, I'll be there no matter where it is. So you, Austin, open invitation to come with. And I'll tell you what, I'll even buy your ticket so you can go to your first concert.
All right. Well, I'm going to hold you to that one because
that's good stuff.
I know. Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that one because I definitely want to see him. You know, and I know it's so funny because, you know, you hear a lot of Buffett fans out there. I mean, my gosh, there's a ton of parrot heads. But, I mean, you talk to some of them and you get to talking to some of them. There's a lot of them that have actually never been, you know, to see him. And my dad was one of them. He never saw him in concert. So, you know, I want to make sure that that's something I get to do. I mean, God forbid Jimmy kind of hangs it up before I get to see him. I mean, he's no spring chicken. He's been he's been doing it for a while. Definitely want to get out there and see him before he decides to hang it up.
Yeah, we forgot to mention. Go ahead, Adam.
He's not ready to put the book on the ship.
we forgot to mention, Austin, one of the big ground rules we missed. We actually don't talk about James and whenever he gets done having concerts. So we leave those jobs, leave them out. We don't talk about that. The day may come.
I'm so sorry.
But we're not prepared for it. No, it's all right.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Well, let me say that I wasn't referring to James hanging it up. I was referring to COVID allowing us from seeing him. Does that make it any better? Sense.
There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break the cardinal rule.
It's all right. It's all right. We're glad you're here, man.
I'm glad to be here. Yeah, it's fun. This is cool. You guys are awesome.
So family affair for you guys. Now, when you got Adam, I know discovered James a little bit late, but Adam, were you getting into Jimmy Buffett when you were still kind of finishing up college? Tell us about that. Did you guys have a crossover? So
we did have a little bit of crossover. So actually, I hate it because it felt like such a waste. AP was a senior. That's what we call Austin. AP was a senior when I was a junior. So I didn't really start getting into Buffett until that junior year. And I didn't realize that he was such a big Buffett fan until we made it to Nationals my junior year. And we're sitting on the back porch in our villa in the PGA Village down in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And man, we had played golf in 105 degree weather all week. And the season was finally over. All we had to do was go to sleep that night. And then we were driving back those 12 hours in the van to Fayetteville, you know. But we were sitting out there playing cards or something, and our golf coach had Pandora on, and Jimmy came on. And I was like, holy crap, dude, you know, let me just be transparent. We went to an HBCU. You know, I didn't expect to hear a lot of Jimmy Buffett, but when it came on, my eyes lit up and AP's kind of lit up, and we talked about it briefly then, but we've probably talked more about Buffett since each of us graduated.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, I think it was, God, why do I want to say it was Havana Day Dreamin' that came on, while we were sitting out there.
Maybe I'm just saying that
because we were sitting out there and we were also smoking cigars, you know, out there too. And maybe that just kind of goes along with that song.
My grandma's probably listening.
You're right. You're right. You weren't. You had no part of it. I think it was actually just me and Coach, celebrating senior year. But I don't know why Havana Day Dreamin' sticks out in my head. I think that's what came on.
That's absolutely right, because I remember being so in the moment and thinking, Jimmy is singing about the cigar smoke swirling and it is happening before my eyes. And I was just like,
you know what?
Like,
so you're talking warm weather, hanging out down in Florida, having a couple cigars after playing golf all week. I'm glad you guys made it through. You know, like we've all got our cross to bear. You had to get through that week. You know, you had to go play golf in Florida and smoke cigars and listen to Jimmy Buffett. So I'm glad you made it through that and are able to be with us today. You know?
Yeah. Like looking back, I guess I've never really thought about how much of a Jimmy moment that actually was, but, you know, that was pretty Jimmy right there.
So Austin, what do you say? You mentioned Havana Daydreaming, great album. I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine today who will listen to this podcast at some point. We had a conversation. Which album cover does Jimmy look cooler on, Havana Daydreaming or A1A? I happen to think A1A, but what, Austin, you mentioned Havana Daydreaming. What would be your favorite Jimmy Buffett record? You got a favorite record out there?
So this is kind of like a two-part question for me. I have a record that really, really means a lot to me, but as far as like his studio albums, I have, you know, that's a different one. I think A1A is probably like my favorite studio album. And I think Adam and I have even talked about this before, the B side, especially, that one I've always really liked. I think those are like some core songs, so to speak, for me. And that one just kind of sticks out as my favorite studio album for sure.
What's the other one? You mentioned you kind of got a two-part question there. So we got A1A, which, by the way, top one for me. And I always tell people, I want to affirm you right now, Austin. We've just met here on the podcast. But A1A, I've often argued to people that side B is the single best side of a record in music history. So good job mentioning that. So far, so good for you. What's number two?
So number two is Adam has corrected me before when we've talked about this, is actually a compilation. And it's the Meet Me in Margaritaville, the Ultimate Collection. That one right there is the one that really hits home for me, because it was the one that my dad and I probably listened to on repeat for like 6 or 7 years straight. I think I was like 11 or 12 when that one came out. Mm-hmm. And my dad brought it home from the store, and I think we just listened to it, you know, on repeat over and over again. So that one like really means a whole lot to me.
Do you have a favorite song that you think about a lot with that album? It's a big one. You're right. It's a compilation, right? So I think it's like literally 35 or 40 songs on there,
mm-hmm.
but a good compilation, very strong.
Oh man, everything. Everything on that one is really good to me. I don't know that I can specifically name a favorite because that could also change tomorrow.
Yeah. We've had that conversation, man. It changes. You know, Adam and I actually, we probably text several times a week about how our favorite song/songs change a lot. You know, Adam?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Austin, unfortunately, and you've spoken about your dad in the past tense a little bit, unfortunately, a few years ago, he did pass away. And I remember reading the obit, and it said in there that he's somewhere up in heaven listening to his favorite Jimmy Buffett songs. And I thought that was one of the coolest things. And in fact, I think that was the moment where you and I really started talking a lot about Jimmy together. And I remember either you telling me or reading that Barefoot Children in the Rain was one of his favorites. And ever since then, it's like I've paid closer attention to that song. And that's on my favorite album, Barometer Soup. And I just wanted to, one, let you know how much that conversation we had kind of impacted how I view that song. I wanted to make you aware of that. I don't know if I've ever told you that before.
No, I don't think you have. I know we've talked about that song a couple of times, and I remember telling you, you know, that was one of his probably his favorite, along with A Pirate Looks at 40. But yeah, no, he loved that song, and you know, when that obit was written, you know, we knew good and well what he was doing. And as a matter of fact, going back to Meet Me in Margaritaville, when we had his visitation, we were like deciding on music to play in the background while everybody's like walking through and talking. And, you know, and my sisters were saying something about just like instrumental. And I was like, nope, we're playing Meet Me in Margaritaville. And for 3.5 hours at my dad's visitation, we listened to Meet Me in Margaritaville. And, he wouldn't have had it any other way. And that was just him.
You know, Austin, signs of a life well lived, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. And he definitely did that. He lived it to the fullest every second, up until the very end.
That's great. Hey, appreciate you sharing all that, man. That's just wonderful stuff. And I know we have a lot of listeners that'll relate to that. You know, I'm thinking about my brother right now and his funeral, same way, a lot of Jimmy Buffett, ironically, in the visitation. So I'm thinking about that as you share that story. I know we'll have a lot of other people who connect with it too.
Yeah, I hope so.
And so many people out there have those stories. And that's what's so amazing is the way Jimmy's music binds so many people together and has created so many great relationships. And again, AP, I don't know if you know, but this, you also were another big part of me diving even deeper into the kind of into the Buffett catalog. You and I were having lunch one day at the Tiki Bar in Fayetteville, Latitude 35. Shout out to those guys. Probably the coolest spot in Fayetteville. You know, you can just go feel like you're at the beach in the middle of downtown Fayetteville. But anyway, you told me about Pirate Looks at 50. And I had heard of it, and I was like, I've never read it. I've never found it anywhere. And you said, well, you need to go to the bookstore when you leave here and try to find it. I did, and it's my favorite book I've ever read.
it's a really cool book. And ironically, you know, when I read it, I mean, I guess this is kind of ironic. I was maybe like 19. So, you know, I'm this 19-year-old kid reading A Pirate Looks at 50. And I think more than anything, it was just really cool to listen to his stories. You know, I feel like if Jimmy was just hanging out with us right now, I think, you know, set the guitar down, I just want to listen to him tell stories for 20 or 30 or 50 minutes, you know, whatever he can do. He's such a great storyteller, and that translates really well into his music and his writing. And you know, he's just an entertainer all the way around.
So you told me a story that day, and I can't remember the specific details. Maybe you can. But you told me a story about Jimmy in a fly fishing shop in Colorado or somewhere like that. Can you remember anything about the story? I just remember it being pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's not my story. It's actually my father-in-law's to be story. So back in like the early 90s, and let me just go ahead and let me throw this out real quick too. There's a continuation of that story, Adam, that you don't know about, that kind of just transpired a couple months ago. So like back in the 90s, my father-in-law was down in Atlanta, Georgia, and there's this fly fishing shop in Atlanta, Georgia called the Fish Hawk. And a guy named, I think it's Gary Merriam, I believe, is the owner. And it's a pretty, you know, recognized fly fishing shop. Well, my father-in-law is down there, and he's kind of doing his own thing, you know, looking at some reels and rods. And he hears this guy talking, and by no means is this my impression of how Jimmy Buffett sounds or what I think he sounds like, but he hears this guy over there, and he's talking to the salesman. He's like, yeah, well, I got to get back down to that part of the world sometime and try and do some of that fishing. And I haven't flown there lately, and this and that. And my father-in-law was listening, and he's like, man, that voice sounds like really familiar. So he looks over, and he's like, is that Jimmy? Is that Jimmy Buffett? And the guy that my father-in-law is with, he's like, nope, dude, that's not him. Don't go over there and embarrass yourself. It's not him at all. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And so he doesn't end up going and saying anything to him. But this guy that they thought was Jimmy walks out, and the salesman who this guy was talking to walks by, and they stop him, and they say, hey, excuse me, sir. And the salesman was Gary Merriam, who owns the shop, and he looked up at Adam and said, yep, that was him. Before they could even ask the question, he just said, yep, that was him.
You know,
so that's wild. So he just kind of had this, you know, Jimmy experience, and he didn't even get to ask him if it was actually him, but it was him. But ironically, my father-in-law was back down in Atlanta, or he wasn't back down in Atlanta, but he was, you know, communicating with this fly shop and purchasing some stuff. And he was talking to the owner, Gary, and he said, Gary, he said, you know, I was in there in the early 90s, and my friend and I were in there, and Jimmy Buffett was in the shop. He said, do you remember that? He said, yeah, Jimmy used to come in here quite a bit when he would pass through Atlanta and pick up some stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That is, you know, you can immediately pick up on the authenticity there. Because if you've read a lot of Jimmy's books or books about him, a phrase like, I got to get back down to that part of the world, is 1,000% something that he would say and write. And talking about flying, a lot of people don't know Jimmy Buffett, great pilot, flies around, has a great history as a pilot, has actually wrecked a plane one time and writes about that. And a pilot looks at 50. He's got a good part in that. Thankfully,
Jamaica Mistake too.
and Jamaica Mistake, oh, yeah. Where he got shot at, you know, so some interesting days in a plane, but I think that's what he likes about it. That's an unbelievable story, man. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And, you know, Jimmy's just got a lot of cool things going on for him, man. Like, he's a pilot. He likes to fly fish. You see him playing golf every once in a while on his Instagram. You know, he's just got a lot of cool things going on.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, I don't know at this point if you can argue that he's got one of the best, at least on paper, one of the best lives out there that you can have. You know, fly around a little bit, do some fishing, play some music for your adoring fans, you know, play some golf. He's got a good thing going.
Yes, yeah, obviously. We're coming in at the same time here. The struggles of Zoom meetings for podcast recording. But anyway, I was just going to say, you know, not much has changed since 85, Hank. He still loves the Cajun martinis and play an afternoon golf. So.
That's right. You got it. You got it.
Yeah, I'd hop on that lifestyle any chance I got, man. I've always said if I could, like, trade lives with someone for a little while, it'd definitely be Jimmy.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's interesting that your father-in-law, and I want to talk about the old wedding coming up here in a minute, now that you mentioned your soon-to-be father-in-law. I'll tell you, I don't know if I would let that opportunity get away. I would much rather introduce myself to 5,000 men who are in their 70s, who had a goatee and probably wearing a baseball hat, because he does that a lot when he's just out and about. I'd rather introduce myself to 5,000 people or not introduce myself to Jimmy Buffett one time. You know, I'm just taking a chance. So if you're listening to this and you're in your 70s and you have a goatee and you have a similar build and frame to Jimmy Buffett, odds are I'm going to come say hello to you in public at some point. I apologize in advance if you're not, in fact, Jimmy Buffett. But, man, that'd be my worst nightmare. You know, if I was out and about and I didn't go say something and somebody was like, yep, that was him. He comes in here all the time. I would, wherever I was, I would have to hang out there for the next several years until he came back in there again, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely would too. I remember, gosh, it's probably been like 10 or 12 years ago, Jimmy Buffett kind of strolled through Ocean Isle Beach one time, and some folks got a picture of him eating at, I guess it was like the Ocean Isle Beach Fish Company or whatever the restaurant was at that time right there. And younger Austin, who just was infatuated with Jimmy Buffett. Every time I went to Ocean Isle Beach, I just wanted to go eat there again. In hopes that, like, maybe he just happened to be passing through one more time.
Could be it. There's a place in Little Washington out in eastern North Carolina like that, too. He used to be by there a lot. I forget the name of the little restaurant. My dad goes there a lot. But there's a place like that where he went several times. And for a while, every time I'd go home, I'd tell my dad, hey, we're riding over there and going to eat lunch, just in case he's there in the afternoon, you know? So I don't blame
you. Yeah, absolutely. You gotta take that chance. You never know when he's going to be in there again.
So, all right. A couple weeks ago, Adam, you talked about your wedding, right?
That's right.
Sounds like we got another one coming up, Austin.
Yeah. Next Friday, February 19th. Just right around the corner. We're in single digits now on the countdown. It has been a long time coming. We originally were supposed to get married May 29th of last year, which that was real close to your wedding date, original wedding date too, wasn't it, Adam?
Our original date was May 30th. That was, okay. Yeah.
yeah, I thought so. So we were supposed to be that Friday and you were the next day. So with COVID and everything going on, we've gotten pushed back and pushed back again. But next Friday, come rain, shine, hell or high water, We're getting married, and we're excited. Catherine is my fiance, and she is absolutely fantastic. And we're kind of excited to get, you know, started to the next point in our life, next chapter.
Big question, is she also a Jimmy Buffett fan?
She is a very loving and supportive significant other, and she is very tolerant of my Jimmy habit, so to speak. She's not going to be the first person to cue him up in the car on a road trip, but she will listen to him all day long if I have charge of the radio.
Well, you got a lifetime to work on her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I've got a pair of tickets, or I bought a pair of tickets for Raleigh when we were going to go last year. And the other one was hers. So she was going to get to experience Jimmy for the first time too. And hopefully we'll still have that opportunity when all this gets cleared up. So you're right. You know, we got a lifetime to do it. And I'm going to convert her. That's going to be my mission in this marriage.
I love it. Thanks for keeping the main thing. You know what I mean? Like if you're on your wedding day, you're hanging out and somebody were to say, hey, what do you really want out of a marriage? You know, you get the opportunity to say, more than anything, I want to make my wife a Jimmy Buffett fan. You know, that's important stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, it's not the only thing, but it's an important thing. It's up there. Yeah.
Do you have a first dance song picked out?
We do. We do actually. And this is kind of, we went back and forth, and it's not a Jimmy song. I couldn't win that battle.
Scoff.
Same, bro.
But it's a song called Precious Love. And I don't know if either of you have watched the show Schitt's Creek. With Dan and Eugene Levy. It's kind of their theme song a couple times throughout. We have watched Schitt's Creek on repeat over the past like 8 months. And she's really become fond of that song. And I've got to admit, it's pretty catchy. I can't think of the fella's name who sings it. James Morrison, maybe. But she really likes it, and I like it too. So that's going to be our first dance song.
Adam may know who sings it. I'll admit, Adam is way better at general music knowledge than I am.
It is. You got it right, AP. It is James Morrison.
Did I? Oh gosh, yes. Brownie points for me.
That's right. Make sure she listens to this one.
yeah, absolutely. No, real quick though, Hank. Adam's music knowledge. So Adam is, you know, obviously extremely, extremely, extremely knowledgeable about Jimmy. But when I first met Adam, his main interest in music was another artist. And he was just extremely knowledgeable about him too. And Adam, I think it's pretty safe to say any artist that you take interest in, you kind of jump in with both feet and you really, really learn everything you can about them.
So that's the reason I don't drink. When I like something, man, I
just
love
getting
it.
After it.
So yeah. So yeah, me and AP have definitely bonded a good bit over John Mayer's music too. So
I didn't know where we were going to go there. John Mayer could have been Kenny Chesney, could have been Gavin DeGraw. You know, there's a lot of places we could have gone with that, but. Adam, yeah. I'll tell you, I'm proud to say that somebody with your musical knowledge and the depth of your appreciation for various music has picked James of all the artists to put on a pedestal. You know, it reaffirms my decision to be an enormous Jimmy Buffett fan for my entire life now.
It's the songwriting, man. If you look at all my favorite artists, the melodies, the song structure, the production is different with a lot of the ones I like, from Kenny Chesney to Jimmy Buffett to Gavin DeGraw, John Mayer, Andrew McMahon, Brett Denon even. But the thing that gets me are really good lyrics and really good songwriting. And Kenny's really the only one that doesn't write a ton of his songs, but he's one of the best at picking great songs. But man, at the heart of it, really good lyrics are what get me. And I believe with all of my heart that Jimmy Buffett's the greatest songwriter ever born.
You're in good company there. You know, there's some folks that a lot of our listeners have probably heard of before that would agree with you that James William Buffett may be one of the, I'll say it. And people can email us at under40pod@gmail.com if they disagree. James William Buffett is the single greatest American songwriter of all time, period. You know, and I really think that. And there's some other people that do too, but you're right, man. The songwriting is incredible. And, you know, they, a lot of folks tend to undervalue it for various reasons, but I'm with you. Great songwriting.
Speaking of great songs and great songwriting, AP, you say you've listened to the show. I believe you. You have no reason to lie. So you know that we've been trying to give kind of our current four favorite songs. That just means currently, right? So obviously it would be impossible to say these are the ones that I'm chiseling in stone, my four favorite Jimmy Buffett songs of all time. But Hank and I, it changes so often that we have a new four every week. What are your four right now?
Gosh, that's such a tough question. Like you said, there's so many of them. So four right now. I definitely took the long way home last night trying to get to Cowboy in the Jungle on my playlist. So Cowboy in the Jungle is probably on one of the those four right now.
Let me just say, the third verse may have the best imagery of any Buffett song. Oh my gosh, alone on a midnight passage, I can count the fallen stars while the Southern Cross and the satellites, they remind me of where we are. Just, it gives me chills just to think about it, AP. That's a great choice.
Yeah, there's a lot of great imagery in that song, in every one of those verses. But what really catches me there is, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, you would call it the bridge. I don't want to live on that kind of island.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's always just kind of struck me. That I don't know why those couple lines have always just kind of got me. But that's definitely one of them. A Pirate Looks at 40 is always up there. I don't know why. I think that's a great one. I think when he says, yes, I am a pirate, 200 years too late, I think we can all relate to that a little bit some way or the other. Mm. I don't know. I've always liked that one. So another one right now, and this just recently happened this afternoon, is Take Another Road.
Oh, my goodness. That just
happened to pop up as I was on my way home from work. Crazy day at work. So what do? You hop in the car and you put on the Jimmy playlist and you just see what comes up. So that one came on today and that one kind of struck me too. So I'll probably listen to that one a couple times tomorrow.
What a great escape song. Just take another road to another time. Like,
yeah. Like it's always so ironic to me how, you know, whatever the situation may be, there's always a Jimmy song that kind of relates to it, or you can kind of parallel with what's going on in life. But probably the fourth one, I don't know. Let's go with Migration.
Oh,
I hear you.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's great. And I'll tell you what, you mentioned A1A is one of your favorite albums, so it makes sense that it gets some mention here on your favorite songs, you know. But I'll tell you what, if I had to say, hey, top three songs, I guess this is the second mention of A1A, but if I had to mention top three songs on A1A, Migration, strong song, don't know that I'll mention it on top three, so I appreciate that, you know.
I'm gonna buy me a sweat-stained Bogart suit and an African parakeet. Man, it's just like when he's singing that part, like that might be the jammiest I get with a Jimmy song. Like, I'm singing that part at the top of my lungs. I'm going to teach him how to cuss, teach him how to fuss, and pull the cork out of a bottle of wine. Like, even that, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but that is a silly line, but it is a brilliant line.
Oh, yeah. I agree. That's a great tune.
It's kind of just one of those fun songs you just kind of turn on and you can just really kind of have a good time listening to.
AP, that's a great list, man. That is a great list.
That means a lot coming from you, Caps.
That's really good, man. Hank, going over to you, what are your four songs this week?
You know, you mentioned that you mentioned Migration was good because it's when you're at your jammiest, and I have, much like Austin, it appears, I have had a week at work. I appreciate and love my job every second of every day, but there are times where, a lot of stuff kind of piles up a little bit. There's a lot going on. So I have needed those times in my day where I got to jam a little bit. So I've been kind of, the weather's been a little better. You know, we've been up in the 60s a couple days this week. And so I've been as hard as I can chasing those sunny April and May afternoons with, you know, when you're coming out of winter and you get to roll the window down on your way home from work for the first time and enjoy it. And so I've got to do that a couple times, which means my volume on my car goes up to 40. 40 is distorted and blows my speakers. But I've been listening to it at about 36 this week. So I've been jamming. I've not been in like a slow Jimmy Buffett, good writing. They're all good writing, but I've not been in like a, you know, it's not really been a week for me where I'm jamming to like Death of an Unpopular Poet. You know, I've not been looking at those. I've been getting after it. So the first one, Bank of Bad Habits. I've been jamming that one. Aaliyah from last week, I think, mentioned that on a tweet with the Blame It on Buffett podcast. But, I've been jamming to Bank of Bad Habits this week, which has been good. A little bit old school on this one, The Weather Is Here, I Wish You Were Beautiful. I've been getting after that one. One of my favorite sayings. As a child, I used to love to say that to people because I'd heard the song. I mean, as like an 8 or 9 year old, I used to say that to people. And they would think I was confused, and my parents would have to explain that I was not in fact confused. It was a Jimmy Buffett song that I was referring to. But so I've loved that one for a long time. So The Weather Is Here, I Wish You Were Beautiful. I've been jamming to that. Not too jammy, but a little bit. The Wino and I Know, one of my faves. I've been killing that one. I don't think we're far from Mardi Gras. So a little ode to New Orleans and that one may be appropriate, but The Wino and I Know I've been jamming too. And then actually one of my favorite concert memories was in Charleston, probably 2014, maybe 15, I forget. It was in the Tennis Center on Daniel Island, but he did Love and Luck, as an encore. And I've always loved that tune. And so I've got it, I think twice actually on my playlist. So I've been jamming to Love and Luck this week a lot. I love the end of it too. The live version they've been doing pre-COVID for a few years where Nadira joins them at the end there. And so I've been jamming to Love and Luck. So that's probably what I close it out with. Those are my four: Bank of Bad Habits, Weather Is Here, I Wish You Were Beautiful, The Wino and I Know, and Love and Luck. So those are my four this week. Great tunes that I hope people are also enjoying as they listen to this. But what about you?
Yeah, well, I love the first line of Love and Luck. Better days are in the cards, I feel. And if I had a dollar for every time I've played that during the pandemic. But anyway,
absolutely.
So you've had a little bit better weather out in the Charlotte area. Not so much here in rural Sampson County. It's rained a lot. It's been cold. So I'm keeping it with the down tempo Buffett, and I'm going to start off with a song that's probably in my permanent top 10 from my favorite album, Barometer Soup. Remittance Man. After you stole Reggabilly Hill from me last week, Hank, I sent you a text this week and said, do not put Remittance Man in your list. Don't do it. Or we're going to have a podcast divorce. So
it wasn't my vibe this week.
Well, thank God, because it was mine. Oh my goodness, we talk about Jimmy being as good a songwriter as anybody, and that's on full display in Remittance Man. In the story, the dude took two pages from Mark Twain's Following the Equator and wrote that beautiful 5-minute song about a character that he read about in that story. It's an otherworldly song, in my opinion. The next one, shout out to the newest studio album, Life on the Flip Side, track 4. We're going with the Slow Lane. It feels like classic Buffett, but it is obviously new. Just a new vibe. It came on shuffle earlier this week and just caught me right, and I've been listening to it a little on repeat. The next song, I was actually listening to a newer song on my daily mix on Spotify or whatever, and I heard a melody in there that reminded me of the hook of this song. So it led me back to this song, which is If the Phone Doesn't Ring, It's Me from Last Mango in Paris.
I almost listened to that one today, and I accidentally hit shuffle when it came up. So I listen to slow jams a little bit with Mayer when it's bath time and bedtime and stuff. And if the phone doesn't ring, it's me came up, and accidentally I guess I've been listening to jams all week. And so they were coming up on my shuffle. Right. Nothing slow was coming up. So I was just, shuffling right through stuff. And that one came up, and I mean, fraction of a second too late on pulling my thumb back up and not hitting shuffle. So I missed it, but I'll have to go listen to it tonight, Adam, in honor of you.
God, I hate it when that happens.
It's the worst, right?
It is. Yeah, it's horrible.
Like, I know what you mean. It is the worst. And then my last song, I'm going to have another one from Barometer Soup, which is Jimmy Dreams. So lately, normally on Saturday mornings, for whatever reason, I wake up at 7 a.m. So instead of laying there in bed on my phone and mindlessly scrolling and refreshing Twitter and Facebook and all that crap, I've been going into my little record room at home and putting on my favorite albums. And I put in the hard copy, the CD of Barometer Soup last Saturday, and just sat there and read the liner notes while I listened. And Jimmy Dreams, again, it just hit me right in the feels. Take it all in. It's as big as it seems. Count all your blessings. Remember your dreams. And it just, it talks about how the world is a toy if you just stay a boy. So just, some pretty deep lyrics. Again, I just think brilliant songwriting on display with that song as well. So I very much look forward to this Saturday, getting up and doing the same thing. I haven't decided what album I'll be diving into yet, but I've done that the past 2 or 3 Saturdays, and I've been liking starting my weekends that way.
I love it. And I couldn't agree more about the lyrics with Jimmy Dreams. It's as my wife and I have been together and been married, she was a Jimmy Buffett fan, but has obviously no choice, has become much more so being married to me. And we actually danced at our wedding to Coast of Carolina. Austin, I'll take one of our last couple of minutes here to remind you that James has written some of the great love songs of all time. If you're looking for a song, Coast of Carolina was my song up there. Come Monday, the obvious one. My parents danced to Come Monday. And a little bit ironically, my wife and I danced at our wedding to Coast of Carolina 37 years later, which was neat.
That's a great one.
Oh, obviously written as a follow-up to the same couple, but on the back end of their love story, in front of the front end of their love story, which was neat. So my parents danced to Come Monday, and then kind of at the back end of their love story, they watched their son dance to Coast of Carolina with his wife. Really neat. And so I'd say check that one out. But also, Jimmy Dreams, there's a quote from Jimmy Dreams on a painting over my son's crib. So Jimmy's music has really permeated a lot of the really important stuff in our life. And Adam, I'm glad you mentioned, that song, because it's real special to my family right now. So good stuff. And Austin, again, encouraging you, if you can, check out the old Coast of Carolina for a first dance song.
Oh yeah, I definitely will. I know it by heart. It's a fantastic song. I love it. I'll I'll have to let her take a listen to it or 20 and see if I can convince her.
So in honor of your honeymoon coming up and Valentine's Day, I got to throw in a bonus song from one particular harbor. It's called Honeydew. So that's a great one for all of you parrot heads to play for your significant other here on Valentine's Day, as that's right around the corner. And especially you, that should be your theme song on your honeymoon, AP.
Yeah, I'll cue that one up. I'll let that one roll for a little while. And,
there you go.
Kind of just go with it.
There you go.
Well, got to get used to it. You know, getting married, you'll have more and more honeydew stuff, but you do like I do. You know, I get up in the morning and have a couple cups of coffee and turn on the Spotify playlist and let it roll, and I do what needs to get done, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually ripped out some flooring in our house last night and spent like 2.5 hours doing that. And I didn't put on my playlist for some reason or another, but I should have, because I probably would have felt a lot better doing it.
There you go. Well, you know what you'll have to do the next couple of weeks? Not the next couple of weeks. You're getting married so soon. Hopefully you're done with the household chores for a while, at least until after the wedding and potential honeymoon, if you're able to with COVID. But next time you'll have to put on episode 5. You'll have to watch a little film on yourself, you know, first podcast here with us. See how you did. I think you've done great. You know, we're so glad you've been here with us, but you'll have to listen. You'll listen on your phone and see how it goes for you next time you're ripping up flooring and taking down wallpaper and those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have to do that for sure. Like you said, hopefully there'll be a little break in between projects, but yeah, I'll do that for sure.
AP, thank you so much for hopping on, man. It's been great to see you. Great to talk to you again. Congrats on all the awesome things that are happening with you and Catherine. I hope you guys have the wedding that you deserve. And then after that, man, when you get back, get settled in, we got to get together. I don't know if you know it, but Latitudes has a killer brunch now. So we'll have to hit that up or something.
I haven't had it yet, but I've heard it's pretty awesome.
It is great.
I'm a brunch person. Well, I got to be honest. I'm a food person, period. So I'm sure I like brunch. Yeah, you know. I appreciate you guys having me on. I've really enjoyed it. You know, anytime I get to hang out and talk about Buffett for an hour and talk about good music and tell cool stories and meet cool new people like Hank, I'm always down.
Outstanding. I've been like you, Austin. I've been called worse today, man. So thanks for jumping on with us. Really appreciate it. And I too am a brunch guy. I've got a 5-month-old who controls my schedule these days, who may determine that I don't get to do brunch for a little bit. But I owe Adam a trip to come visit with him, and so maybe on that trip we'll all get to hang out and meet.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be a good time for sure.
Thanks again, AP, and thank you everybody again for listening. We appreciate everybody that's reaching out on social media, that's sending emails, just everything. It's really cool to hear from everybody within the community. And yeah, it's just awesome. We're having a blast doing it, and we're going to do it as long as you guys are listening and vibing with it. So until next time, this has been the Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast. Fins up, everybody.
Fins up, guys.